Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Japan Top 10, episode 424, Japan Top 10 Indie Artist Interview, number 12, with the artists No Yushimi and Dead Lennons. This is your host, Tassie.
And I'm Dean. Japan
Top 10. And yay, this is my first indie episode with Dean.
And yeah. Welcome, Tassie.
I was a little bit scared because I've never done any interviews other than our special episode we did a couple months ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. From my end, I had a little hiccup here and there with my unstable internet during the interview.
But, oh dear.
Yeah, but it worked out. I think it
worked out. Oh, good.
How about you? How was yours?
Mine was great. Actually, I recorded it at the end of January. They weren't able to make the January interview, indie artist interview, on time, so I actually did this at the end of January, but I've been going through and editing it ready for this episode, so I've had to listen to it more recently, but they were really good. I had all four members of the band.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and we had a lot of laughs. Unfortunately, I've had to cut out it was a 1 hour interview, and you know, we only have 20 or 30 minutes, so a lot of the funniest stuff got missed out, but you can tell that they really enjoy working together, and they're a really tight-knit band, which is great for me as a musician to see.
That's awesome. For my end, I had only one of the members in my group, but we had a very I think we had a fun interview because I've never dabbled my toes into the hardcore music scene, and so hearing his insights about music that he likes and what his band members like, it's quite interesting that their interest doesn't really follow with the genre of music, but it's like very interesting to see that. So
it was the same in the band that I interviewed. Went around and I asked all the, you know, who their influences were, and the lead singer, this is a J-rock band, and the lead singer says he loves Michael Bublé, you know, and that was the last artist I was expecting to hear about. But
we love some Bublé.
yeah, we all love Michael Bublé. Yeah.
Before we start the episode, we would like to let you guys know that this is the third Listener Appreciation Month episode for March. Listeners will get all the premium platinum Patreon level episodes this month. Get your song requests into our show by visiting our website at jtop10.jp. We would also like to let you guys know that we're looking for great talents to join our podcast, so please visit our site for details on how to apply.
Great. It's really hard to say premium platinum Patreon, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah. You did really well there.
It's a mouthful, but I did.
Okay. So let's get on to the interview. So I'm starting off with the band No Yushimi. They're a J-rock band from Indonesia.
Wow.
I've never interviewed a band from Indonesia. That was a first. The word No Yushimi is taken from the English phrase, now you see me, because the band wants to be noticed and appreciated, even though the genre they are playing differs from most of the musicians in their country.
That's a really good meaning.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Yeah, it's really clever. The band has four members: Fandi on vocals, Hussein on guitar, Rizal on bass and Danny on drums. And you can find them on all your favorite social media platforms, including YouTube, Instagram, Spotify, and Facebook. Now, I follow them on Instagram, and I also follow each individual band member on Instagram as well, because they're all very creative guys and very interesting. So if you enjoy the interview and you enjoy their music, go find Noyoshimi on Instagram, and you can actually find their individual accounts as well. I have a great time following what they're doing. So here it is. Hope you enjoy it. This is Noyoshimi from Indonesia. So today I'm joined by the four members of Noyoshimi who are joining me all the way from Indonesia. I've never interviewed a band from Indonesia before, so this is a first time for me. Would you like to go around, please, and introduce yourselves and tell me what you play?
All right. Firstly, my name is Danny. I'm the drummer, and I'm also the youngest ever here.
Okay.
I'm Rizal. I play a bassist in this band. Oldest.
The oldest.
I'm the oldest. You're the oldest. All right, okay.
Oh my God.
Okay, hello, Dean. My name is Hussein.
Yep.
I play guitar.
Yes.
And this is actually the leader of the band.
The leader of the band. You're the boss.
Yeah, he's the boss.
That's why you're so handsome.
I'm the boss.
I'm the vocalist. My name is Fandi.
Fandi, hi, nice to meet you.
It is Fun and Dean.
All right.
So it's fun.
All right, okay. Well, thank you very much for making the time to join me today.
Well, thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure. I've been listening to your music and I've been really enjoying it.
Okay, thank you.
I'm a professional musician working here in London. I also play, but I produce music for other musicians. And as well as enjoying your songs, I also enjoyed the production of the music. The sound of your recordings is fantastic.
There's a whole story about it.
Okay, so maybe we can hear about that a little bit later.
Okay.
Let's get started with the questions.
Okay.
What or who inspired you to start making music?
When we first made our song, we're not actually inspired per se.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're kind of forced to make our song.
Yeah.
It's a quite funny story, actually. Back in the early of 2020, there's this nationwide online band competition.
Yeah.
Where every band that submits, only 100 will be picked.
Right.
In our regions, there are another 5 bands.
Yeah.
To live performance.
Yeah.
2 weeks before the initial event, the event committee release the rules and requirements. And one of the requirements is you need to play one of your original songs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and back then, we do not have any. So at first, we were thinking about sitting this one out.
Yep.
Because we do not have any, and it's just such a little time to make it. But Rizal here, he told us, just make a song.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what can it be? And it is actually hard, man.
Very hard time.
All right.
Yeah, so in the following day, we meet at my house to talk about the song. And we don't know where to start or how to start it.
All right.
But, but fortunately, Rizal here, he has this banks of music arrangement that he made back in college, I think.
Yeah.
If you know our first song, Hard to Say, it's actually the bass line from instrument. So he just give us that bass line and basically said, do what you want with it. Make some riff, make some drum beats. And me and Hussein here just, brainstorming about how the music will be going, what kind of tone we want for the music is.
Yeah.
After some time, the first version of the music is already done, but we don't have the lyrics yet.
Right, okay.
Thankfully, Fandi here, while we were making our songs, he made the lyrics on the go.
Oh, okay.
Wow. He just listened what kind of song it is and try to make a lyric that will fit into our songs.
Yeah.
We need the song to be in Japanese. And
right.
Since the lyrics is still in Indonesian, we need to translate it.
Yep.
But there's not enough time to make it to a proper translation. So we just use Google Translate.
Yeah.
And it sounds really bad. It sounds really formal, but no one knows it. That's how we made our first song. And long story short, we didn't win.
Oh, okay.
But because of that, we found a new passion for us to make songs. And after that, we start to perfect our first song and start talking about making music video. And also start to making a second music video that will be connected to our first music video.
Yeah.
Then make our second song.
Oh, right, okay.
it's quite random, actually.
It didn't come from inspiration. It came from necessity. You need the original song.
It's something else.
That's great. So how did you all meet?
The first time we meet is in 2007. I and Hussein was in same high school. But in 2012, we meet again. That we think we meet. 2016, we meet Freddy Pandi.
Right.
For the vocal position. And the last, in 2018, our late drummer was to resign. So that we search for a replacement drummer. And then we find Danny. Until
right.
now.
Right, so you're the youngest, but you're also the newest member.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
So you're the baby of the band.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, almost. But also, yes, the smartest in this band.
Oh, no. Oh, right.
So as a band, you've been going for about 10 years, is that right?
Yeah. 2012 and until now.
That's a long time for a band.
Yes, it is.
Long journey.
How would you describe your music to new listeners?
Basically, our genre usually revolves around grunge, but we constantly explore the other genre, such as funk, metal, or jazz, and everything that we think it's good.
I always think it's very hard to describe your own music to somebody else.
Yes, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes.
People ask me, what do you do? And I say, I don't know, it's just, you know, listen to it.
Yeah.
Well, we actually listened to a lovely song.
Oh, did you? Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's just not that into you.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
All right, firstly, I'm not trying to offend you or anything, but it's so painful for me to hear it, because it's spread at home. I'm sorry, someone is actually like, but it's not into me.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Because it is so true.
It's okay, it's okay.
And it is so painful.
It happens to everybody.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially this one.
All right.
Yes. Our guitarist have a big broken head.
You mentioned that your first song, you wrote it in Japanese, but you used Google Translate.
Yes.
After that, how did you start writing your lyrics in Japanese?
After that, we, in second song and third song, we decided to translate it to our friend.
Oh, right, okay.
Our same friend from Japan, and my friend...
Good at Japan.
Good at Japan. Has been 10 years in Japan.
Right, okay. Do you actually say to them, this is what the song is about?
Yes.
Okay, so do you give them lyrics in, say, Indonesian, and they translate it, or you just say, this is the feeling of the song?
How we give the lyric in Indonesian, and then they translate it.
They translate it, okay.
Yes.
Right, wow, that's very interesting.
That's a big problem from Pandi. The first they sing in Indonesian, and after that in record they sing in Japanese. That's just for you.
Fandi, how do you deal with singing in Japanese? Is it easy for you?
I think I shall try to be Japanese from now.
All right.
To deliver every word that I can deliver to my audience.
Yeah.
Or to my friends, all my friends.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but I must do that.
Well, you do it very well. I was very impressed with your pronunciation of the Japanese in the song.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. 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 So you've done it. You've done it. What is your songwriting process?
Songwriting process. Usually, when one of us has an idea on our lyric for a song, we just pitch it in a WhatsApp group.
WhatsApp group.
And then we, and then we meet me or Hussein. We'll try to search for possible chord or composition.
Yep.
And et cetera. And then after the early version of the song is done, we try to play it in the studio again.
Right. So Hussein and Rizal, you are the main songwriters, is that right?
No, yes.
Exactly. All of us.
Right. All of you. You write together.
Yes, all of us.
Yeah,
you write together.
So what do you enjoy most when you're creating music?
Well, especially you know, with all of this experience that we made in several years, kind of putting everything into a thing that we're going to make.
Yeah,
and it is so wonderful to think that all those hard words to be put into something that we actually make. I mean, you must know it, you're a songwriter yourself.
Yeah.
It's, you know, arguing with everybody or what kind of riff or drum is going to sound best.
Yeah.
This is just headbutting each other.
Do you enjoy the teamwork?
Yeah, of course. I love the process.
I work a lot by myself now, but I was in a band when I was in Australia for a very long time. We were together for 20 years.
Wow.
And I really love that you bring an idea for a song and then one of the other band members puts something into it that you never even thought of in the first place.
Yeah.
Everyone brings something fresh and new that you didn't even imagine. I really love working in a band and creating music with other people because, you know, everyone has a different idea, hears things in different ways and plays things in different ways. I'm really happy to hear that you enjoy that aspect of the creative process, because I think it's very special to have that. Yeah. Do you have any moments in your music career that really shaped you as a band?
I think what makes us into a proper artist is when we made our first song.
Right, yes. Yeah.
We can say that an artist is a person who makes art by the logic. We become an artist when we make our own art.
Yeah.
And for us, our art is our song.
Mm.
Be it good.
Great. Thank you. Well done. That was good. At this point in the interview, we're going to listen to a song.
Okay.
And the first song we're going to listen to is Ishun no Omoi.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us something about how the song came about, how it was written, what it's about, who it's about?
Oh.
No, you don't have to tell me who. That's fine.
Okay. I tell some kind of journey that makes someone can find another thing that he maybe never will find.
Thank you. Okay, so now we're going to listen to Ishun no Omoi, which was released on October the 2nd, 2021. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, it's good.
Great. Okay.
Kimi ni ai no sekai. 緒に最後のストーリーまで置いてゆく。
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That was Ishun no Omoi by Noyoshimi, which was released in 2021. Okay, moving right along. What kind of goals in music are you looking forward to in 2022 and beyond?
We're thinking about making several songs with its music video. But maybe now that songs are not done yet, but we try to make sure that our song's gonna be done in the end of the year. It means the album will release around that time.
Yeah, I'm thinking about making an album.
Yes.
You're working on an album, or you're planning on making an album. I look forward to hearing it.
I'll send it to you.
When you've done the album, we'll have to have you come back on the podcast.
Well, we can
present some of the songs, and you can tell us about how the album was created. You'll have to keep in touch with us and let us know how you're getting on with that, because we'd love to have you back.
And we'll try to improve our English.
Oh, okay, so that's a goal. That's a goal for you.
English so hard.
You're doing very well. It's great. It's great. Don't worry. How do you gauge if an audience is going to like a song you produce?
We do not know how to gauge our audience to like our song or not.
Yeah.
We are trying to make it a song that we are going to like.
Mm.
And since it's a big world, we believe there is always someone out there who's going to love it.
Yeah.
We're just trying to make as many people to listen to our song. For example, we submit our song to Chiptofen.
Right.
We believe that Chiptofen is good for the bigger audience.
I think that's a really good response, you know. If you think too much about your audience, you're not being true to yourself as a musician.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think that the very first thing that a musician, a band needs to do is actually make music that they like.
as you said, because someone out there is going to love your music.
Yeah.
Yes.
And at the same time, someone out there is going to hate your music. So, you know, you can't please everybody. So it's very important to please yourself. And I think if you believe in your music, that comes across to your audience. Yeah, I think that's a very good attitude to have. Mm.
Thank you.
If you were to have three artists you could work with, who would they be and why?
I'll definitely go with Wagaki Band.
Yeah. Anyone else?
For me, the one is Yui, singer from Japan. Yeah.
Right.
And the second is Yu, singer from Korea. Next.
I'd like to work with Masatoshi Ono.
Masatoshi Ono. Yeah.
Masatoshi Ono.
Yeah.
And then Stephen Tyler.
Stephen Tyler.
Okay.
Yep. Aerosmith. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Yep. Right. And then absolutely Ari Lasso.
Indonesian singer. Yeah.
Indonesian. Yeah. Yes.
Right. Okay. I'm getting it now.
Sawano Hiroyuki and Nobue Uematsu. He created a music from Final Fantasy music.
Nice choice.
He created epic music and beautiful composition.
Thank you. Very varied artists that you'd like to work with. If you had an unlimited budget for a music video, what would you like to do?
Well, of course, we're going to shoot an MV in Japan, Tokyo Skytree,
maybe also we want to feature a Japanese actor or actress like Kana Hashimoto.
Oh, right, okay.
Beautiful idol.
Right.
Yes, and or Takeru Sato, a Japanese actor. He's one of the best Japanese actor. Or making a full-fledged animation for MV video.
Mm.
You know Makoto Shinkai, you know Makoto Shinkai style?
Yes.
Yeah, like a Pocari Sweat. Like a Pocari Sweat MV. Makoto Shinkai anime is a very, very so phenomenal.
Yeah.
The beautiful graphic. We won't make it.
I'd love to see that.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. What has been the best advice that you have been given?
You know, on the event we mentioned earlier.
Yes.
One of the judges told us that you were allowed to be a fan or be inspired from a certain artist. But when you make your own song, you need to have your own sound.
Mm.
So when people listen to your songs, they're going to listen, oh, this is Noishimi's song. It's not his song or their song.
Yeah.
With a different kind of style than what they have.
You were told to create your own style rather than imitating other artists.
Yeah,
that's very good advice. There are so many young artists around that sound like other artists.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that comes again to what I was saying earlier about believing in your own music and creating music that you want to hear. If you do that, then your own style will come out because that's how it works. Very good advice. What genres or songs have you been listening to recently? Are they different from the type of music that you create?
Yes.
Of course.
Each of us are actually listening to different genres. Like Rizal is listening to love songs lately.
Okay, is this so you can get a girlfriend?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
And Rizal is listening to Muse, right? Muse.
Oh, I love Muse.
Yes. Yeah. It's actually different from the genre we usually play. The more various the genre we are listening, the more inspiration we can take for our future songs, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so we're coming towards the close of our interview now. If you could leave one message for your fans and our listeners, what would it be?
There's any aspiring artist out there that is in doubt of making first song, just do it. I mean, I think it's... maybe your first song is bad. That's just the way it is. So first thing bad. In time, it will get. That's what we're trying to do, all this time.
That's and a really nice will, last message.
You know, maybe what us in our social media or YouTube or anything else.
I was going to ask you as our final question: where can people find you on the internet?
You can find us on YouTube.
Yep.
On music. Spotify and Apple Music.
Yep.
And if you want to get to know us, you can always DM our Instagram. We will answer you. If
you respond to DMs on your Instagram account?
I don't know. There's anyone out there who wants to DM us.
I'm sure that when people listen to the music on the podcast today, they will want to follow you on Instagram and they'll want to DM you and they'll want to find out more about you. I guarantee it.
I hope so. Thank you.
In closing, we're going to listen to Kieta, which was released also in 2021. Can you tell us about what the song is about or how it came about?
I start to telling my story. We're so close with death, but we don't care about it sometimes. And I feel the pain sometimes. I feel empty sometimes. And I just hope to tell anybody that sometimes feel mine too.
It's going to happen, so don't dwell on it. Just get on with it.
Right?
We're going to finish the interview with Kieta from Noyoshimi, which was released on 24th of March 2021. And before we listen to it, and before we close, I'd just like to thank you all again to Rizal, Hussein, Fandi, and Danny. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dean.
Nice to meet you. We hope to have you again on the Indie Artists interview once you've done your album. So keep in touch with us and let us know how you're getting on.
Of course.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you, Julia.
That was Noyoshimi from Indonesia. Do check out their social media. Their music is available on Spotify. And yes, Spotify in my best British accent. And all your other favourite subscription streaming sites. Do check them out. Right, who we got up next?
Okie dokie. I interviewed Tom from Dead Lennons. Dead Lennons is a post-hardcore metal band with roots in punk based out of Tokyo, Japan. Members are Sean Trevor, his role is guitar and vocals, Koichi Takano, for drums, Tom Donnelly, guitar and vocalist, and Takaki Sato for bass. The band released their EP No God to Punish the Wicked in 2021. Please. Yeah, so please enjoy my interview with Tom.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi there. How's it going?
Nice. Good. How about you? Thank you for coming for today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Before we start the interview, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Tom. I live in Japan. I've lived here for about maybe 13 years or so, originally from Chicago. And I play in a kind of a heavy metal, hard rock, hardcore band called Dead Lennons. And, you know, I've been doing that for quite some time. So I'm just kind of happy to be here and talk about it. And again, thanks so much for having me today.
Oh, no, thank you. Would you also like to introduce your members that are not here at this interview as well?
Some of the members, you know, they don't speak English. So there's the drummer's name's Koichi Takano, and then the bassist's name is Sato. We just call him Sato, Takaki Sato. And then there's another guy also from America named Sean Trever, who actually is currently in LA right now, and myself.
Oh, Tom Donnelly. Where am I?
Yeah. He's out there now. So, we started this band maybe 2010, 2011 around, and we've been kind of going strong and writing music and playing kind of in the underground Tokyo scene for quite some time now. So, yeah, those are the members. They wanted to be here, with the whole, you know, language thing, it's a bit difficult for some of them to take an interview in English. So
yeah.
it's just me today. So
I can speak some Japanese, but I wouldn't say I'm fluent. So
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I could speak something. Yeah.
Are you studying on your own, or you take like lessons or how?
Oh, it's, I'm studying it in college. It's actually my major, but I'm not near fluent.
Yeah, no,
to be honest.
Nobody is. I've been here 13 years, and trust me, I'm not fluent either, so no worries. Yeah.
It sounds like your band altogether is very diverse. How did you guys meet each other?
Well, it's kind of funny. So, you know, I started playing music in Japan pretty much right after I moved here from Chicago, and it's kind of a weird story. So like when I was in university in Chicago, I finished college, and I would always go to this bar in Chicago on Division Street, where I made a lot of friends there and whatnot. And you know, after I finished college, I moved to Japan, and I was living here, and then I had a friend from that bar come to Japan to visit me, and he's like, oh, I have another friend that's living in Japan as well. I'm like, okay, let's meet up. We hang out. And it turns out that like the other guy in Chicago, Sean, knew the same circle of friends that I had in Chicago and was also living in Japan. So it was just kind of this weird coincidence, like we're on the opposite side of the planet. And, you know, I meet somebody who knows all of my friends in Chicago that I had somehow never met before. So since we knew everybody in Chicago, we're, you know, and he's into music and I'm into music, and he wanted to start a band, I wanted to start a band too, we just went from there, and then we became like best friends. And then I was playing in another band at the time, and then we kind of poached the drummer from that band into Dead Lennons. And then we started, he and I both quit that band and focused only on Dead Lennons. And then we played, we kind of cycled through a couple bassists here and there. Nobody was really a good fit, but there was this one pretty much like a kid that was coming to like every show that we played. He was always like front and center, this like real quiet guy named Sato. We just kind of approached him. We're like, okay, you're at every show. He knew all of our songs. He knew everything, and he knew how to play them because he was at every show. And we just said, hey, do you want to join the band? And he's like, yeah. And then that's kind of how it came together. So it's this weird set of circumstances.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like fate.
Yeah.
It's brought you guys together.
Yeah, it was yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like things just work out sometimes, and that's how the band got together back in the day.
Oh, that's awesome. Your guys' band name reminds me of that one band, Dead Kennedys.
Dead Kennedys, we get that.
Yes. Yeah, but I'm thinking that it's not your guys' inspiration with making music, right?
No.
For your guys' band?
Mm-hmm. No.
So who inspired you guys, like, with the songs and everything for your band?
Well, I mean, like, the band's called Dead Lennons, obviously, after John Lennon. The Beatles mm-hmm. are a huge inspiration for all of us. We went through a couple different names. Yeah, we went through a couple different names. We started out as, what was the first name? It was called Brick by Brick. We were Brick by Brick for, like, a year. And then we would Google mm-hmm. it, and we found out there were, like, a million other bands named Brick by Brick. And then we're like, okay, we need to change it. And then we changed the band name to Tiny Cities Made of Ashes, which is the name of a Modest Mouse song. And then, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of started getting popular in the Tokyo scene. But every time we would Google it, of course, Modest Mouse would come up and not our band. And then eventually we settled on Dead Lennons just because we were just like, okay, what are some artists that we were truly inspired by? And we all came up with, like, of course, the Beatles. The Beatles are, like, some of the you know, with the greatest band of all time in all of our opinions. So we just kind of settled on
yes.
that.
That's so interesting because the Beatles genre of music is totally different from your guys's mm-hmm. Genre. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Well, that's a really interesting parallelism mm-hmm. to it. Mm-hmm. So, did you guys start doing the heavy metal from the beginning, or did your style evolve throughout the years?
It's kind of funny. Like, so when Sean and I were first starting, we knew we wanted to start a band. We knew we wanted to start a band, but, like, we didn't know what genre we wanted to play. But we had been playing in bands since high school. You know what I mean? Since we were kids. Sorry, my cat is going crazy here.
No worries.
So we were thinking, we were just like, okay, we want to play in a band, we want to write music, we want to write songs, we get along well together, and, like, but what do we want to play? And we were like, okay, let's play something that we've never played before. So we grew up playing, like, pop punk or alternative, you know, growing up in the Midwest and whatnot. And then we were like, okay, what's a genre of music we've never played before? And we came up with two options. One was jazz, and the other was hardcore. And we're like, okay, we can be a jazz band. Yeah. We could be a jazz band or a hardcore band. But then we found out, okay, neither of us are nearly... Whoa. We're not even close to being able to play jazz on guitar. Like, we kind of tried it out. And we're just like, yeah, I think we probably would need to go to school for this to learn how to play jazz. So let's just do hardcore. And then we just picked that genre, and then we just went with it, and it just kind of spiraled from there, and that's it.
So your guys' training was all pure passion,
yep.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Unlike me, I tried doing piano as, like, a child, and then I stopped, like, everyone else.
Right. Yeah, makes sense, yeah. Same with me with the piano. You know, I have a piano. I spent way too much money on a piano, and I barely touch it.
Yeah. I'm guessing you don't use your piano for your songwriting process, right?
Actually, I do actually. To lay out notes. So we'll have a new album coming out hopefully within 6 months. That's halfway through the process, and there's a lot of piano in it. Where we're trying to mix piano and strings and things like that into hardcore music. Kind of like blending the genre of, like, piano, strings, orchestra, and hardcore all together. It'll either be awesome or it will totally suck. We don't know.
Oh, fingers crossed. Yeah. Well, it sounds like, it sounds like you actually are using your piano. So it's not collecting dust at all.
I guess that's true. That's true. Okay. Yeah, I play piano, but I'm just not good at it. So.
Okay, that makes more sense. Well, earlier we were talking about how your inspiration for the band is mainly Beatles and John Lennon. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else outside of your music writing genre that you also like as well?
Oh, man, that's a big question. I'm a huge audiophile. Like, I love music. I love all kinds of music. Anything and everything. I'll listen to anything from, like, rap to hardcore to classical to, you know. But with Dead Lennons, I think, I don't know, big inspirations, at least for me. Like, everybody has different you know, every member of the band has different inspirations and we kind of bring mm-hmm. it all together and whatnot. But for me, I would say, I mentioned earlier, Modest Mouse is my all-time favorite mm-hmm. band. You know, the way that they kind of take music and kind of break it apart and kind of think differently and make their own kind of sound and own kind of genre, that's a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, hardcore music, like, even though I play in a hardcore band, I don't really listen to too much hardcore music. Or it's hard for me to find bands that are playing hardcore where I'm like, okay, yeah, these guys got it. You know, there are some...
Oh, okay.
Like the Blood Brothers, for example, like they're a really, really, really good hardcore band that I still listen to all the time. Maybe between The Buried and Me, they're kind of like a prog metal band, which is pretty mm-hmm. inspirational to me, you know. But in terms of like the music that we play versus the music that I listen to, it's kind of different, you know. Which is kind of allows me
I see.
The freedom to write hardcore music kind of the way that I see it. In the way that mm-hmm. I kind of interpret what hardcore or metal means to me without trying to sound like another band. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Is there anybody in the Japanese scene that you particularly like that can be in your band's genre or outside of your band's genre?
Yeah, there's a huge scene here in Japan. I would say maybe in the States, people might know the band Envy, E-N-V-Y, Envy. They're kind of like an emo, E-N-V-Y, Envy. They came out.
Oh, okay. I think that rings a bell.
Yeah. They, mm-hmm. they kind of got popular around like the early 2000s, and they're like one of the first Japanese bands that was kind of like poetic and hardcore and just all screaming vocals mixed with like Japanese poetry and very... kind of symbolic lyrics, and you know they're a huge inspiration, you know. And I see them, you know, when they play, and they sell out every time, which is really rare because like heavy music in Japan isn't that popular, but it does have its kind of subculture of fans, you know. And they're one major band that is still playing and still going strong all throughout the early 2000s, and you know, they're a big inspiration. Mm. Boris is another one. Maximum the Hormone, I guess in English, Maximum the Hormone is another one. They actually did our first album. They're an inspiration.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There are a lot of heavier bands here in Japan. They're just really hard to find, and mm-hmm. they're just not so famous, and you never hear about them because they play locally, and, you know.
So I'm guessing, it's from what it sounds like to... dive into more of the heavy metal and screaming mm-hmm. like screamo music, mm-hmm. you would have to go underground for that in Japan.
Oh, absolutely.
For like, absolutely. Interesting. Oh, that's quite interesting. Because like, I don't have much experience in listening to heavy metal, mm-hmm. but I do know, like the underground like idol scene.
Right.
So like, right. Yeah. So it's like similar to that, but of course. Different
yeah it's got its own people. It's got yeah. its own following, you know, like the idol scene and things like that, you know. Like I've played shows before, so like when you play shows, you know, at a live house in Tokyo, like the live house is pretty much, it's not 24/7, but it's open from like 10 a.m. till like 2 a.m. and you have different shows. So like in the States, when you go to a show, it's like you buy a ticket, you go to the show, the live house opens up, you go see the band or the mm-hmm. lineup, right, and then you go home. But Tokyo is more of like a 24-hour kind of scene where they'll have like three shows at a live house, but all three shows will be different. So like I've literally gone to play like a hardcore show, and when I show up for sound check, the show that is finishing before us would be like an idol group, like a dance group, right? And you'd have like all those fans that are there for that show. Then you show up with your guitar and your hoodie and like playing a hardcore gig while all of the like Japanese idol fans are leaving, you know, the live house from the show that literally just ended. So like you just kind of,
it's like a baton pass,
pretty much,
kind of a thing.
Pretty much. And you're like, you show up and it's just like you have all these fans there, and then they leave, and then you're like, okay, I hope my fans show up, and then like five people come, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's pretty interesting.
No, but they came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I don't have any experience in creating music, mm-hmm. but what's something that you enjoy most when you create your music?
Good question. I like, for me, it you know, like the creation of music is pretty stressful, because like it's like I want to make something that's mine that I can really take ownership over and put it out there, and like there's always that whole like when you have fans and you have people that come to shows that like the stuff that you've written before, like when you're writing new stuff, it's stressful. It's like you want to make people happy, they want to hear more of your music, but mm-hmm. at the same time you don't want to write the same kind of thing that you've written before, because you kind of want to grow as a musician, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. like it's stressful for me, but the thing that inspires me the most is like when it's released. Yes. And I listen to it, like after I can step away from it and, you know, step away from the creative process and just like boom, listen to it on like Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, and just say, hey, yeah, you know, I did that, like I made that, that's me, that's kind of who I am, you know, or who I was at the time when I was writing it. Mm-hmm. And I always kind of try to keep that in mind when working on a new album, when it gets stressful, like just, you know, hey, listen, it's gonna be released, just kind of stay the course, you know, don't mm-hmm. you know, don't get too upset about how you suck at guitar or like, you know, all these mm-hmm. things. You know, that's my kind of main inspiration, is just the final product and just the happiness that it can potentially bring to people's lives.
Would you say that songwriting for you is kind of like a diary of some sorts?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Like, I've listened to songs that I've written when I was in junior high school that I still have somehow. And, you know, I look at myself now and I look at myself, you know, in junior high, or like that awkward kid I was in high school, and like just you can really see how you evolve as a person through music, like the way that you mature musically, the way you mature as a person, who you were then and who you are now, and you can kind of hear that through the songs, you know, when looking at yourself if you write music over a long period of time.
So if you were to give advice to a aspiring or upcoming music artists like you guys, mm-hmm. what would you give, like what would you give them as an advice?
I would say, like, write what you feel, you know what I mean? Music music is a reflection of yourself, like, you know, all the great artists, all the songs that kind of stand the test of time, when you listen to it, you can tell that the artist was just writing what they felt. You know what I mean? They weren't trying to sound like somebody else. They weren't trying to fit into the whole, like, you know, mass appeal style of writing. You know, those songs that really carry that weight, that stand the test of time, are the songs that are written by artists that just truly wrote what they feel. So if there are aspiring musicians, you know, it doesn't matter the genre you're playing. It doesn't matter how good you are at your instrument. You know, music is music. It's, you know, it's subjective, right? So just write what you
feel. Very true.
Write what you feel. You know, it's a great outlet. It, you know, especially given the current climate in 2022. You know, like it's a great music's a great tool. You know, to really express yourself and express what you feel and kind of grow as a person, right? So the advice I would give would be, just write what you feel. Write how you're feeling, and don't care how good it is, if it's good or bad. I mean, there is no bad. There's no such thing as bad if you're writing what you truly feel, right? So that would be the advice I would give.
That, and the advice that you just gave out is great, because you can apply that to any other creative outlet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We talked about about what you like in music in Japan. Mm-hmm. Is there any songs or genres that you've been listening to recently that's different from your type of music that you create?
Different from the type of music I create? Japanese music, you mean?
Oh, yeah. It can be anything.
I've been listening a lot to... There's a band called Tokyo Jihen. It's really, really, really good stuff. There's an artist. Her name is Shina Ringo. She's...
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's just amazing. Like, everything that girl does is just gold. You know what I mean? So I've been listening to a lot of Tokyo Shinoringo and Tokyo Jihen recently. just to kind of remember that, you know, when I'm, you know, writing this new album, like, here's a Japanese artist, like, she and her band, you know, really broke the mold in terms of, you know, the creative process, and it just really inspires me so much. It's like one of those bands that you listen to as a musician, and you say to yourself, like, I'll never be that good. You know, like, no matter how much I practice, like how are they so perfect at everything they do? Like,
don't say that.
I know. I don't mean good. Like, but I mean, like, yeah. In terms of like technical abilities and the writing style is just like it's something to shoot for me, and it inspires me. So I listen to it, you know, as kind of a goal for myself. Be like, okay, maybe one day I can be like Tokyo Jihen if I just keep working at it, you know.
What do you hope in achieving for, like, for you and as your group as a whole?
What do I hope to achieve? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, music, it's never like, it never ends. It always keeps going. You know what I mean? So, like, there have been people that have come up to me who have said, you know, fans at shows and whatnot, saying that my music had changed their lives in some way or the other, or, like, it got them through a difficult time. And, like, that's the achievement. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really have that in mind when I was writing it. I just wanted to start a band and play in a band. But, like, you know, I really hope that the music, you know, can make other people happy. And, you know, if they're having a good day or a bad day or whatever, they throw on Dead Lennons and it just makes their day better. You know, that's the achievement for me. If I can kind of positively affect others' lives in some way through music, then that's the achievement. It's not even about the music. It's about, like, the feeling of music and you know,
that's awesome.
How other people listen to it and use that as a tool for their own lives in whatever way.
For you, it sounds like you're more interested in having your music connect with your fans or listeners to a deeper level.
Absolutely.
It sounds like.
If possible. Okay. Ideally, yeah. Or if they just want to throw on a tune and listen to it, like, that's fine too. But whatever, you know.
How about your ultimate dream for your music career?
I don't know. I've never really thought about that. Like, ultimate dream for my music? Not I, but, like, we as a band, like, we make music and we just put it out. You know what I mean? Mm. And it's like, that's one kind of challenging thing of music is, like, you know, you look at the analytics of where in the world it's being listened to. Like, when you put music on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, you know, you can see where in the world, like, how many listeners you have, where they're listening from, and there are, like, places in, like, Southeast Asia and Europe and America where like our music is kind of popping up here and there, and it's just kind of like, to me and to us, it's like, who are these people and how did they find out about our band and why are they listening to our music? And I really hope that the music is helping them in some way, and that's kind of the dream, you know what I mean? Like, when people you don't know are listening to the songs that you and your band writes together collectively, like, that's kind of the dream. So I guess my dream would be to kind of increase the amount of people all over the world that listen to it, and just hope that it really brings them a sense of joy in some aspect, if that makes sense. I don't know if I answered your question, but
no, that was perfect. Yeah. I really hope that comes true.
Yeah, me too.
Our next song is going to be Corrupt 2016 by Dead Lennons. And fun fact, this music video, Corrupt, was shot and edited in Berlin, Germany by Ilse Hellmann. Enjoy.
We'll be right back. drag you
How did you guys like our interview? I had a really fun time, and like I said before, I've never really listened to heavy metal music, but it's very interesting to hear his thought process about, you know, how he songwrites and the origins of their band. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed their interview, and be on the lookout for their next album, which Tom said it might happen in 6 months.
Oh, wow. Great. Mm-hmm. Great. I really love the idea of an international band as well. You know, Japanese and Western. Yeah, that's great. Well, that's all we have for this episode. We hope you enjoyed the interviews with Noyu Shimi and the Dead Lennons. We'll be back in 2 months' time. Is that right? So March, April, May. We'll be back in May with another indie artist interview. Andy and Christine will be bringing you our last Listener Appreciation Month episode featuring the latest news topics in Japan. And they'll see you in a week from now.
Yay. Well, yay. Can't wait to hear the news of everything. So yeah.
Yes, the news of everything. There's a lot of news going on at the moment all over the place. So, yes.
Yes.
But we won't go into that now.
But no, not yet. Not
we'll leave
yet,
it for but... Andy and Christine to do that.
Well, I hope you guys liked our first episode together. It was fun. And I can't wait for the next indie episode. I wonder what's going to be next.
Oh, yeah. Who knows? Yes.
Who knows?
It's in the lap of the gods.
Exactly. Anywho, thank you for listening. This was your host, Tassie.
And I'm Dean. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Japan Top 10. The number one Japanese music
podcast. Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.